Bill Mackay is with us. He is at the School of Architecture at the University of Auckland, and he is with us in the Tamaki Makaurau Auckland studio. Although in your mind, you're in your kitchen, aren't you? Good morning.
I am. So much to talk about with government changes and all of that kind of thing, but I'm taking a break from the political this week, and I'm always sandwiched between the food, people talking about food, and lunchtime.
I know, so, I get hungry too on Mondays.
Yeah. So I'm designing a new kitchen at home, and I'll tell you why in another talk that I'll do on the Public Works Act.
Can't tease like that. Have you been forced to do it?
Short answer, yes. But I'll be talking
How
about
come
that.
The Public Works Act force you to do your kitchen up?
The full story will emerge at a later date. Let's talk kitchens. And I think I just implied that kitchen design wasn't political. But as I say to my students, everything is political. So here's a brief history of modern kitchen design, because you can't design anything without knowing the history of things. And I will focus on the famous kitchen triangle that you still see people insisting is fundamental to a good kitchen layout. And the contemporary kitchen is probably about 100 years old. And when I say 100 years old, a lot of people will be thinking of villas and things like that. No, much later than that. And a lot of us trace it back to the work of the Bauhaus. That's the famous modernist school of design in 1920s, 30s, pre-Nazi Germany. I will murder their names, unfortunately, but Margarete Schutt-Lehotsky and Benita Koch-Otter and others designed a series of model kitchens. And Lehotsky's Frankfurt kitchen is the most famous. You know, if you Google Lehotsky, even if you can't spell it, Frankfurt kitchen, you will be astonished and go, I would put this in my house today. And this style of kitchen was, you know, the first modern kitchen because it was functional. It's got all those things we take for granted, the flat flush, easy, the clean surfaces, the fitted cupboards, integrated fittings, all of it easy to clean, place for everything in its place. Incidentally, while we're talking about German design, here is a startling fact, and I check this with every German I meet. In Germany, when you move house, you pack up your kitchen and take it with you. And I'm not just talking about what's in the cupboards, I'm talking about the cupboards, the appliances, the kitchen sink, everything.
Eek.
Yes, astonishing. Really hard to believe, but apparently it's a thing. So Lehotsky and others, they've been really influenced by an American, Christine Frederick, and her books, you know, sum up what she's doing, for example, the New Housekeeping Efficiency Studies in Home Management, and that was published in the 1910s. There are a lot of other people in this area as well, but the basic principle was scientific management of workflows in design, reducing movement, increasing efficiency. And this also meant that the kitchen actually got smaller, so you didn't have to walk too many steps. So, and one of the ways they did this was they got rid of dining areas in the kitchen and focused it on one person, you know, the worker in the kitchen. Guess who that was? You know, the housewife. In New Zealand, you start to see efficient, well-planned kitchens in 1920s, 1930s bungalows. They're fundamentally American designs, but many bungalows still had little dining alcoves off their kitchens. The first Labour government's famous state houses of the 1930s, they got really serious about what they called the kitchen as a workplace. That's a quote that they used quite a bit. And those kitchens were actually quite small. And that was the biggest complaint that 1930s, 1940s tenants had about state houses, the kitchens. They effectively split the family. And the reason for that is traditionally kitchens, such as 19th century cottages, even villas, they doubled as living areas. So the kitchen's always been the heart of the house. And especially in a working class, you know, middle class house, you had a big kitchen table and an oven that was almost always on. So it was nice and warm in there. And that's where the family would gather and spend their days and their evenings. And even in the villas, late 19th century, early 20th century, the kitchen was the main living area still. The front room, you know, the bay and the bay villa, that was just for visitors and special occasions. So I'm working on the history of housing in New Zealand, actually. And I often say the evolution of the house in New Zealand is pretty much a short story. It's about two things. The toilet making its way from the back of the garden into the house, and the kitchen, which has always been the heart of the house, making its way from the back of the house to the centre, which is where it is today, part of, you know, the big open kitchen dining living space that many of us have now. But back to that kitchen triangle that obsesses so many of us when we design our kitchen. It's basically the route between three key points. You know, fridge and pantry, that's storage. Sink and bench, that's your prep area. And the hob, the oven for cooking. And that's all based, the kitchen triangle is basically based on the notion of only one person in there preparing a whole meal. But these days it's different. And when designing a family kitchen today, I think we need to take into account that you might be prepping a meal in the evening while you have kids or teens or your partner hovering, chatting, snacking, all of that kind of thing. And I use what I call the kitchen butterfly. It's basically two triangles joined together as a design principle. And they overlap at the island that so many of us have.
I was going to say, there's got to be an island here somewhere.
Yeah. So snackers need to access the fridge and the pantry, you know, the storage, and the microwave and the toaster without getting in the way of the chef, you know, the person preparing the meal. So I reckon you put those parts of the triangle, the storage and the microwave toaster, on the fringe of the kitchen so they can get at those while you can still be working in the depths of the kitchen. And I would rather have my kids or my partner perched at the island while I would, you know, they're having
They're on the outside of the island, though.
Yes.
They might be technically in the living room, just sitting there watching you doing everything.
Yeah, this is really a talk for TV rather than radio. But perched on the other side of the island. And the idea there is they can be eating or having a glass of wine if over a certain age. And this sort of thing encourages informal interactions in the family, you know, in conversations of the kind of, how's your day been at school? How's
kids
your day
can do their homework there. Younger kids can be
That's right.
doing their homework there.
That's right. Mm. So I think when I'm doing this book, I might kind of like, well, I'm already kind of like, the focus of this book is very much how we lived in houses, kitchens.
Do you know what? The only thing that occurs to me, though, parents. We've talked about this before, is what's happening with the population demographics.
Mm.
And you are ending up with a higher and higher percentage of one-person households.
Yes.
And we are also aware of people ageing or having disabilities. And so that... You kind of you want a different kitchen for different phases of life in some way, don't you? Although we also talked about the concept of the late life flatters once the partner's left this earth or has left with someone else, the idea that people might be flatting it together again.
Well, when I in my design classes, we have so many split families and blended families
True.
As well these days. We have much more multi-generational living. I was just talking to someone this morning about house design. There is less of a demand for a 3-4 bedroom house. More of a house that can be broken into chunks, almost like you can have a mother-in-law living, as I've done, in one part of the house at one stage, or, you know, the oldest kid leaves home, pairs up with someone, suddenly they're pregnant, they come back and live with you but want to live slightly different lives, and then those other scenarios that you suggest. So we need to be much more multi-purpose about things.
I love the idea that things like the toaster and the blender and everything else, you know, the smoothie maker, all of that is in a part, it's away from the core triangle so that people can come in and move around and do whatever.
And I'm big on having the microwave as a thing, if you've got the bench space for it. Is it having a thing that could sit on the bench, like the toaster or the kettle, that you can move around a bit? I don't like building them in because...
True.
Yeah.
You don't know where you're going to go. Microwave sits on top of the fridge, doesn't it? Anyway, good discussion. What you should bring in at some stage is the cost of all this, by the way, when you come to talk about your own.
And they'll be in part two.
Because there are ways to save money. Just interesting, the Germans walking off with all the cupboards and whatever.
Yeah.
But you can radically improve a kitchen by using the existing kind of skeleton, if you like, and just zhuzhing up the doors and everything
and
else. But
I'll have tips on that and
it still
storage.
Costs, though. Goodness.
Storage, Catherine, storage.
Lots of storage, and we were talking about this with a decluttering person recently. Planning, the stuff you use most often has to be in that triangle. It has to be just within reach.
Mm.
And you need to know where the stuff you use less often. For me, it's a food processor. I've got one that's about 12 years old, and I don't think I've ever used it. In fact, I nearly bought another one. So you need to know where stuff is, but you want the most common stuff nearby. But you don't want to be walking out to the garage all the time to get your dry goods or whatever. And you've got to explain to me what the 1981 Public Works Act has done to you that requires you to upgrade your kitchen. But that'll be next time, will it?
That's a small part of the bigger story. But once I've cleared it with my lawyers, I'll be bringing it to you.
So you pulled out the lawyer on me now. Okay, I'm backing off. Very good. Always a tale to be told with Bill Mackay, who is senior lecturer in the School of Architecture at the University of Auckland.